Archie Yoon, welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. We've got a great hour ahead of us. Starting out with some trending things on Twitter, only in California, or specifically in California, a semi-truck hauling a big payload of beer. Well, there it is. Veered over the side of a freeway this morning on the on-ramp and overturned in West Covina, California, spilling what looks to be thousands of cans on a hillside and on the street below. And you know, Twitter just could not help itself. Once they found out the driver was okay, able to exit the wrecked big rig and walked unassisted, many were just here for the comments. Michael Watson on his way. Michael Watson's on his way, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare for cleanup. Patrick wrote, should be the easiest and quickest cleanup in history. Someone crash a lime truck and then a food truck, right? And then just all kinds of prayers for those affected by the Modelo shortage. So a little bit of a beer spill there in California. So a little bit of a happy hour early in the morning, right? Coming up on America Trends, I want to tell you, we're going to talk to Bart Marcoise about the border crisis. He's a former undersecretary to George W. Bush, 43. Agents say our system is crushed. They are crushed. Our system is crushed. The border is being crushed. And Bart also has a specific take on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and what millennials think or will think of her. We're also going to talk to Vincent Hill about the trending R. Kelly. He had an explosive interview with Gayle King in recent days, and the R&B singer was released from a Chicago jail Monday, 3 days after surrendering to face 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. There's all kinds of stuff here. The masses are getting a look into what the alleged victims say because of a new documentary. So we're going to give you a quick look at the documentary called Surviving R. Kelly, the R. Kelly documentary on abuse allegations and sex cult.
There's a difference between R. Kelly and Robert. R. Kelly's this fun, laughing, loving guy. But Robert is the devil.
R. Kelly is at the top of the charts, but he may be in for a fall. He was arrested today on 21 counts of child pornography.
Kelly is accused of videotaping himself having sex with an underage girl.
Taking advantage of minors will not be tolerated.
Jurors found him not guilty on all charges.
Robert has said all along he would be cleared of these terrible charges.
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Milk R. Kelly!
Mute R. Kelly!
Mute R. Kelly!
We got a tip that she's here.
She's not
in. R. Kelly has denied accusations that he's holding women against their will in a sex cult.
Dave said he loved you so much.
I should have never introduced her to him. I should have never introduced my family to him.
He's the puppet master.
It was very scary because I knew at that moment I had a secret.
Sparkle is alleged to have received significant payment.
I didn't take the money because I can't be bought. He ain't a monster by himself. It took some help.
I was just ready to get the hell out of there.
Black women don't get the same recognition as our white counterparts. And I wish that would change.
A grown man, 50-something years old. That's not acceptable, nowhere. Nowhere.
So just ahead, we have R. Kelly with his recent interview with Gayle King. And he said he was fighting for his life, and it's sort of a... that people are pinning things on him that he never, ever did. We're going to talk to Vincent Hill from the Law and Order Network. And you know, just as we report this, there are new allegations today from an underage girl saying, R. Kelly did this to me. So trending, we're going to bring you back and talk to Bart Marcoise and also Vincent Hill. So stick around for America Trends. Glad to have you along. Politics always trending in the United States of America under President Trump and everything. You know, everyone is very invested now. They're either super for Trump or super not. And it's just interesting to sort of sit back and watch what happens. And next year, the big election year, 2020, can you believe it's almost here? We're always so thrilled to have some of our political analysts here. And Bart Marcois is one of the best. He's a former undersecretary to President George W. Bush, 43. And he's a career diplomat. And he has a very interesting take on all this, very studious and insightful. And you know, Bart, welcome back to America Trends.
Thanks, Amy. It's always great to be back.
Just today, sort of as we're talking about this, you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. People probably know their name because the media love her. She's our young congresswoman from New York who just 2 years ago was a bartender. But now she's got all the economic breakthroughs and suggestions of the world. She's going to solve everything. And today she said... You know what? You just have to wonder how these people can read a room or not. She said that the U.S. should not have retaliated against the 9/11 perpetrators. So is even that politically incorrect anymore? People do not remember. But Bart, I know that you had a specific thing, and she's facing all these things about some FEC complaints filed against her and one of her guys on her committee. People are saying she could go to jail. But I know that the thing about her is she does resonate with people, and that's what's scary. And maybe she talks a good game and they don't quite understand the ramifications. But I know that you have a take on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, called AOC, our congresswoman from New York, and millennials. So what have you been thinking about here?
Well, I'll tell you, it started with a conversation with a young millennial, 22, 23 years old. And I said, now, are you a millennial or are you a Gen Z? He said, oh, I'm a millennial because I did not have a cell phone, a smartphone in middle school.
Wow. And Bart, millennials are about, what, 28 years old right now, somewhere in that time frame?
Yeah. Anybody who did not have a smartphone in middle school. So anyone who is 22 to maybe 30 years old
are
millennials. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, you know, we had the internet, and the internet was still fairly new. And when we millennials were in high school, we learned that we didn't have to actually know anything because all world knowledge was right there on our phones.
Oh,
by the
boy.
Time we got into high school, we had smartphones, and they were new, and they were exciting. And we didn't have to pay attention because we could just look it up on the internet. And he said, it did not occur to us until the last year or so that we couldn't tell the difference between what was true and what was not true on the internet without that basic knowledge.
Hey, Bart, just to bring some levity, you and I, back in our day when we were learning things like math, they didn't even want us to depend on a calculator.
Yes,
and so, I mean, I could have used I could have used a smartphone back then, I'm not going to lie. But it's just, it's a huge difference. It's a huge disparity. And people that are a little older, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being older, because I wouldn't give anything for the wisdom we have now. I'm not the smartest in the world, but, you know, I get around and I like what we've learned. And,
yes.
And I think that the critical thinking we've gained from this, you know, you wouldn't give that up. But it's interesting that he had that insight to realize that and realize maybe there's some critical thinking skills that they're lacking.
Exactly. And he said that's the problem. They cannot tell the difference between truth and error. And with Alexandria Ocasio, she is not stupid. I call her stupid all the time because she says the absolutely stupidest things. But she's a smart person.
Bart, that's so funny because you're so nice. You're just one of the nicest analysts we have on here and so even keeled. So it's funny when you say that.
You haven't seen me when I'm driving a car.
One of those, huh?
Yeah. Well, as long as you stay out of the left lane, I don't care what you do.
Stay
out of the left lane.
Okay, you know what? Mark that down. We have to have another segment soon. We just need to go into it. Figure out the left lane people, right?
But she has no knowledge of what's true and not true. And so she says these stupid things, and she doesn't know how many numbers there are in a trillion. She doesn't know what $9 trillion means. It means nothing to her. It means more than I ever had in my till at the bar.
Yeah.
And that's as far as she goes. When I was learning Arabic, I learned that a common expression in Arabic is to say something would take 40 days. And we were talking about biblical illusions and about somebody wandering 40 days in the desert.
Yeah, 40 days Jesus. Is a specific date in the Bible that comes around and around.
Exactly.
I'm sure in the Quran
and they said,
as well.
Yeah, but in the Semitic world, 40 days just means a long time, longer than a month. And that's what numbers are like to Ocasio. Longer, more than I know, and it doesn't matter after that because it's more than I know.
So many zeros.
So many zeros. And you know, this business about the 9/11 hijackers, let her go negotiate with their descendants if she thinks we didn't need to send that message.
See, 18 years ago, so she was 10 when it happened.
Yes, and you know, she knows nothing about it. She was in elementary school, fifth grade, and she knows nothing about it. She had just moved to Westchester at that point.
Mm. It's just rude of us to remember such things and remember, you know, that really did happen. And
yes.
it could happen again. Thank goodness our intelligence is good. But as we know, and we'll talk in a minute, they are being crushed at the border. It only takes one. So don't kid us. Don't say it's not a crisis because you're just hoodwinking us. You're just gaslighting us. You Democrats just want people in to vote for you. We're on to you. So so the millennials, so what did you sort of take from that?
Well, the other half of what this young man told me was, he said the Gen Z generation, the one after the millennials, he said, it's true that it is he said, I don't know if I can predict that it'll be the most conservative generation in history, but it is a very conservative generation. He said, they look at me and my generation, him and his generation, and they just shake their heads and say, you guys are so dumb. You can't tell up from down. And he said, we all are having to go back and catch up on the things that we didn't learn earlier because we're starting to realize it. And he said, look for the new generation, the Gen Z, who are going to be voting for the first time in 2020. They are all going to be pro-Trump. They're all going to be conservative. And they are going to be strongly anti-socialist.
I find that so interesting because sometimes you do find the boomerang where they pull it back so far that the next generation says, what are you talking about? Reminds me of Family Ties with the hippie parents and Michael J. Fox, a Reagan conservative. And that's a good example. It happens all the time. So I'm interested in what you have to say. We're going to talk a little bit more about it after the break and how, you know, these two FEC complaints against AOC. We'll be back. Glad to have you with America Trends, and we're so pleased to welcome back Bart Marquez, a career diplomat and undersecretary to George W. Bush, with some of the look at, you know what, he's also a writer for OpsLens, OpsLens.com, and you can find some of his very thoughtful articles and insight there. So it's just sort of exciting that we can have him on here after all these decades with just really good experience. And Bart, we've been talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, New York Congresswoman, and we've been hearing, and you know, if you can watch certain channels and feel like this is really happening, or maybe they're just being hyperbolic about it, but there have been two FEC complaints against Ocasio-Cortez, something to do with campaign finance, and did they do this or that, and her guy on her committee who now has lost, people have noticed, he's lost his website or his email address on her website, so they wonder if he's gotten fired. They're just looking for these little things, but could something really happen to her where she gets in trouble for this? Is this just more of people sort of, you know, exclaiming about things that'll never happen, which sort of reminds me of the Clintons, because nothing ever happened to them.
No, nothing does. And that once you're a member of Congress, any kind of punishment short of serious fraud that would involve an FBI investigation is a matter for the House itself to decide. Mm-hmm. And this puts her in an interesting position. Yes, she did commit very serious crimes or violations of federal election law. One of them may end up being a serious crime. In brief, there are a couple of, you can do a lot of things in campaign finance and get away with it. You can break a lot of election laws. Barack Obama did, and 5 years later, he paid $1 million fine. That's like the death penalty in campaign finance law. Yes.
I thought he didn't have any controversies during his administration.
Yeah, you'd think that, wouldn't you, to hear him say it and
say.
All of his supporters. But no, it didn't make much of a splash because he didn't go near the really bright lines. And the brightest of bright lines is that if you have any kind of independent expenditure on your behalf, they cannot coordinate with you or with your campaign. And not only did she coordinate with this PAC that spent over $1 million, including on her behalf, she and her campaign manager are the two of the three governors of the PAC. That's as clear a violation of the law as you can get. And the only thing saving her is that it was out there in the open, so she clearly wasn't trying to hide it because she put it on the filings. If they could prove that she was trying to keep it a secret from the FEC, then she'd be guilty of fraud. Now she can go back and make a new filing and say, I made this mistake, now what penalty do I have to pay? And she'll have to raise probably more than $1 million to pay the fine. That is my best guess. But the real price she's going to have to pay is if the House censures her or votes to remove her from committees or anything like that, which they could because she's committed what is probably a felony. It could be construed as fraud.
But then she's in real trouble. Could be a felony. For real, it could be a felony, and would that
Yes. She was directing over $1 million in, I've seen varying accounts from $850,000 to $1.2 million. And she's not allowed to do that. And filing paperwork saying she wasn't doing it constitutes fraud. That's a felony. Now, that means that it's up to Nancy Pelosi to decide whether or not to back her and rally the rest of the House Democrats to back her. And, you know, I'm a Greek, and Greeks are Mediterraneans, and we're all conspiratorially minded. So take this with a grain of salt. But I'll just say I did notice that the news about this came out 2 days after Alexandria said that she was going to mount primary challenges against 26 House Democrats because they did not vote the way she thought they should be voting.
Okay, so what you're talking about is a couple days ago, she said she's going to, this new member of Congress, she's going to make a list and check it twice of people who aren't towing the line. And again, making a list, right? Your history a little bit. That's a little scary. And so does she think she's just going to come in and tell people how to vote? And they're going to try. What were some of the ramifications she said would happen if they did not, as I said, toe the line?
Oh, yeah. She said she is going to go out and recruit progressive leftist socialist challengers to mount primary challenges against these 26 members of the House. And these are senior Democrat members. And what she's doing is acting as if she is the Speaker of the House and it's up to her to enforce political discipline and House discipline. And she's going to find out what House discipline is like. And she's also going to find out the difference between growing up in Westchester, New York, and growing up in Baltimore's Little Italy, like Nancy Pelosi did.
You know, I wonder, we had a commentator on here recently saying, I feel like she believes what she says, but I feel like she is a very big grandstander. So not only may she be sophomoric and believe all these sophomoric things that she, you know, doesn't quite have the wisdom to know yet, and I'm not saying anyone young doesn't have wisdom, I'm saying she may not.
Yes.
But people are saying, speaking of, you say, paranoia and conspiracy theories, is she set up by somebody? Because really, she was a bartender 2 years ago. And who's propping her up and, you know, Manchurian candidate things and all these sort of things, Bart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what's happened is you've seen somebody in the mainstream media who had this story and has been sitting on it because the Democrats have asked them.
What do you mean, Bart? What story specifically do you mean?
The violation, the campaign violation.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal in Washington. It's a big deal in campaign circles and in elected officials, among elected officials. People knew about that story, and they didn't publish it until Nancy Pelosi was so angry at her that there was the protection was lifted from her. That's what I believe has happened.
I got to tell you, you've been around it, but as a layperson like me, I'm not really around it. It just makes you say, oh, something else that everyone's going to get away with. And as people on both sides of the aisle, you sort of sit back and go, boy, these people are supposed to be our representatives, not our leaders, and they should be held accountable for certain things. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, does Nancy Pelosi just wring her hands over AOC and then what's her name, Ilhan Omar, about her anti-Semitic remarks? And I'm just going to leave it there and not have you comment, because I want to ask you about this whole thing. We've got about 1 minute. But Venezuela has come under fire because people are saying socialism's the best thing, but Venezuela is not a very good paragon of that. And you were talking about just some of these people holding up Donald Trump, saying, beware, you know, take Trump and be glad you have him.
Yes, that's exactly right. I was on Capitol Hill today, and I ran into a group of a couple of hundred Venezuelan-American demonstrators.
Oh, wow.
And they were demonstrating in support of President Trump and in support of Senator Marco Rubio, who was holding a hearing about Venezuela. And they were wearing red Make America Great Again hats on their way away from
Capitol
Hill.
They're probably going to get beat up then.
Oh, I pity the fool that goes and tries to take this woman's hat.
Oh. You're Mr. T, Bart Markowitz.
And she said, I will fight for that president. I will go anywhere. I'm an American citizen. I will vote for him. I will get my family to vote for him. I will get anyone who listens to me to vote for President Trump.
And a cautionary tale from some people from the point of view of Venezuela. Bart Markowitz, can't thank you enough.
How can I pay child support? How? If my ex-wife is destroying my name and I can't work, how can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids? How?
Your ex-wife
says... Use your common sense!
Your ex-wife says you abused her, Robert.
13! Lie! 13 years being married. I flew in on a helicopter. I flew in on a helicopter.
Yes. Yes. Can somebody get us some tissue?
I don't want no tissue.
Help R. Kelly. I mean, you know what? This is America. We're all about due process. This is R. Kelly, R&B star for so many years. And you're probably very familiar with him. If you're not, you've probably heard a lot of things in recent days, namely that explosive interview with Gayle King. Well, okay, this is just from today. R. Kelly facing new allegations of raping a 13-year-old. So what's happened is there's new documentary with a number of allegations of underage, all kinds of things. We're just going to leave it there. And he's himself has said some weird things, like, what do you think of underage this? And he said, well, underage can mean so many things. You know, he sort of said things that made you say, that doesn't quite sound right. So this new documentary, All Eyes Are on R. Kelly, this R&B star. Then he got arrested. Okay, so what did he get arrested for? He was just released Monday from a Chicago jail 3 days after surrendering because he did face 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. And I guess his finances are so screwed up that he had to stay there for 3 days. So when he whines about saying he owes, his ex-wife's this and that, and he owes $160,000 in child support, his lawyers say his finances are a mess. But this could be just the beginning of problems for R. Kelly and whatever police find out. And again, due process? He's not convicted of anything yet. But what we are glad to do right now is welcome our friend of the show, Vincent Hill of the Law and Order Network. He's a former Nashville police officer, TV law enforcement analyst, PI, and author and podcaster. He follows all these big cases of the day, including the R. Kelly thing. So, Vincent, we would like to welcome you back to America Trends and say thank you for your time.
Amy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
So what's your general consensus on just there's so much to get to on all of this with R. Kelly?
Yeah, you know what, Amy? It's not looking good for R. Kelly. I mean, back in 2008, he skated on child pornography charges, which
I didn't even know
many
that.
Feel he should have been convicted for. Yeah.
Okay, can we just pause and ask what happened there? Because child porn's no joke. And this was 2008?
Yeah. 2008, so there was a video of what many people said was R. Kelly and a young woman who was at 14 at the time. The only problem is the jury couldn't decide if that was actually R. Kelly in the video, and the parents of the young woman never actually said, yes, that's my daughter. So he was acquitted of those charges. But, I mean, the rumors about R. Kelly have been going on for years. I live here in Atlanta 80% of my time, and I've seen R. Kelly around Atlanta. I was surprised to find out he had two or three houses here where he was keeping women.
So that's sort of his base?
Between Atlanta and Chicago, and from what I understand, Dallas, Texas as well. He had a few places there in Dallas, Texas as well. But, you know, these allegations, these rumors have been going on for years. And I think what happened, that Lifetime special, that documentary, actually sparked a lot of this.
So, okay. So you have these allegations going on for a few years, the documentary. What has been going on? So he got arrested just a few days back and then finally released. What's going to be his biggest challenge right now? Is he due in court for something else? I have not followed this completely, but it sounds like he's got a lot of things being thrown at him.
Right. So we cover this on the Law and Crime Network, where I actually anchor and host
for
that.
Yeah, tell us where we can find you. Give us a little pitch of where we can find you.
Well, of course, on Tuesdays I'm on Law and Crime from 12 to 3. I anchor that from 12 to 3. You can go to lawandcrime.com to find out how you can watch. Of course, my social media is Vincent Hill TV, at Vincent Hill TV. But R. Kelly was arrested about a week ago for these allegations of these 10 new allegations, of sexual assault. He had trouble posting his bond, surprisingly. Not surprisingly to me, though. He spent 2 days in Cook County Jail. Female place paid his bond, $1 million. So, of course, she had to come up with 10% of that, $100,000. Mm-hmm. He gave the interview with Gayle King, which he played at the top. And right after that, he was arrested again because he had a child support hearing where he's back. Back child support is totaling $167,000. And since he didn't have that when he appeared for that hearing, he was arrested again on yesterday. So right now, of course, unless he can pay that child support, he's going to remain behind bars until his other hearing, which is set for later this month, on those sexual assault charges.
So he's going to be in big trouble anyway for the child support alone. But also, if we could just go back, and we're going to show you a little more footage in a moment of him, and that Gayle King interview, it's being played everywhere because... let's face it, he got very dramatic. He stood up and said, is this my camera? And he looked into the camera and he said, this is my life. I'm fighting for my kids. What did you think of it? And you almost have to say, I sort of want to say, Vincent, is he on something? Or is he just, you know, he could be in a very heightened state of anxiety because of everything that's going on.
Well, I'm sure he is very anxious about everything that's going on. But here's the thing about an innocent person, Amy. When confronted with something and asked about something, you simply say, no, I didn't do this. But when you're being deceitful, you say things like, why would I do that? Or I can't believe people would assume I would do this. An innocent person just says, no, I didn't do that. And that's it. But the dramatic event that R. Kelly put on yesterday during that interview, I think pretty much spoke volumes about his true involvement in all of these allegations.
And that's exactly what he did say. If you watch some more of the video, he says to Gayle King of CBS Morning News, why would I do that? I would have to be so stupid. And was that just yesterday? Because I've seen it so many times re-airing. It feels like it's been about two or three days, right?
Doesn't it? Yeah, so we've seen it a million times. I mean, if you look on Instagram or Facebook, there's so many memes about it. You know, they said that R. Kelly's crying face has actually replaced the Jordan crying face, so... there's a lot going on, but in all seriousness, this is no laughing matter. But if you look at that man right there in that video, I think it tells you the type of person you're actually dealing with. Because you pointed on something. He's like, well, there's a difference. Like, some older men like younger women, and some younger women like older men. So when you're saying things like that, when you're trying to convince people you don't like little adolescent girls, but to say, well, some older men like younger women... that is not something you say if you're not involved with what you're being accused of.
When you start rationalizing sin, let alone law breaking, because people can do their moral code however they want, but it's against the law. sort of.
Right.
But really.
Absolutely.
So all of that. So about, I got about 30 seconds till the break. We're going to hold you over and talk a little more. But what else stood out to you specifically? Is there anything that stood out in the interview with Gayle King from yesterday?
There's probably too many things to name. Fact that he says, this has nothing to do with music. Well, no one said anything about music. We're talking about these allegations against you. So when someone's being deceitful, they embellish, they add things that have nothing to do with what you're talking about. And he displayed that on that interview.
Oh, okay. Vincent, we're going to come right back with you. Vincent Hill, he's a PI, author of Playbook to a Murder. And he's got all kinds of podcasts and shows that he's on. We're going to talk about more about this documentary. Even a young sex cult is what they're saying about R. Kelly. Back after this. I'm a sucker for
you. You have daughters. If your daughters called you and said that somebody is doing to them what the allegations are about you, would you be okay with that?
Let me tell you something. I'd be up in that mother everything up. I had to bleep myself, but I would be everything.
If your daughters came to you and said, look, this guy is doing to me what the allegations are against you.
Then I would have to arrest myself after I did what I had to do.
You've been very candid that you are a sexual abuse survivor yourself. You've talked very candidly. You were molested from the ages of 7 to 13, 14. Mm-hmm. How do you think that has affected you?
It hasn't affected me at all. I mean, it has affected me in a way, though. Yeah. It affected me in this way. Anything that I've been through, that or any struggles I've had in my past, has affected my music. It has,
It affected your behavior?
Absolutely not.
R&B star R. Kelly saying he'll go ahead and arrest himself if he feels he's done anything wrong. We're here with Vincent Hill of the Law and Crime Network, former PI, author of Playbook to a Murder. And boy, you should check out his book. He's got it. It's going to be a trilogy in the end. And follow him on social media, because every single day he is following the big national cases, the true crime things that just are so interesting to pay attention to, because you sort of sit back and say, I can't believe this is happening. So, Vincent Hill, I want to ask you, how long have you sort of had it in seeing some of these R. Kelly allegations, and now this documentary? Did you say it's on Lifetime?
Yeah, I believe it was Lifetime, Amy. It's called Surviving R. Kelly, and I actually had a chance to interview Ashanti McGee, who's one of R. Kelly's survivors, on the Law and Crime Network, and she talked about some of the things that R. Kelly would do inside the house here in Atlanta. There was this room called the Black Room where a lot of stuff would go on. It was pretty, pretty graphic. And I read the charging order for R. Kelly, and some of the stuff that I read in there, even me as a seasoned law enforcement officer, was just sickening. And it talked about how he would choke these young women, spit on them, slap them, leave his, let's just say, his male secretions on them. So it was pretty sickening. And, you know, this is stuff that's been talked about since the 90s. Let's not forget, he married a 15-year-old, Aaliyah, way back when, and his manager helped him lie on the wedding application about her age.
Since the 90s. And you know, Vincent, I'm very reticent to talk about things like these. As you say, there are terms and phrases we don't really want to talk about. Who wants to talk about a pop star with underage girls and all the details we're going to find out about in that documentary, which really brings it home, because it's not a news story. They bring you the voice of the alleged, we'll say for now, victims, because it's all alleged till someone's convicted. That's just the law. But you know what? And it goes against what I like to do, because you don't want to present that thing in someone's mind. I'm a Christian woman. You're a Christian man. But the fact of the matter is, this stuff exists. There are pedophiles over Hollywood. There's a new documentary about Michael Jackson, you know, rest his soul. But there are new people with allegations against him. And you have to have your antenna up, and you have to guard yourself, and you have to guard your kids, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter if you're A-list celebrity or just someone working at McDonald's. There's sick people in this world that do sick things.
Yeah,
you know,
some of these stars can get away with a little more, because people get stars in their eyes. And just today, we find out that R. Kelly's people are seeking the people who helped Bill Cosby sort of deal with his chaos before he went to prison. And that's a whole new thing. And it's just, we're going to be hearing about this for days and days to come.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, R. Kelly's attorney has said, well, all of these women are lying. They just, why would he have to do this? Because he's a rock star. He wouldn't have to do that to anybody. But Bill Cosby was America's dad, and we saw him on the Jell-O commercials. But look what he's in prison for right now. So yeah. That really means nothing.
The stars like to say, people like to say, I'm a star. Why would I have to seek anybody out? The girls are seeking me out. But we know it's a power thing from some of the things we hear about psychology and the psychopathy. So it's a whole other thing. Okay, I want to ask you about some other cases you're covering. Anything else on R. Kelly you want to mention before we move on?
No, I think we've covered R. Kelly, and I think he covered himself. He's got a lot of hit songs, and, you know, one of them is Trapped in the Closet. Right now, he's trapped in the Cook County Jail until he faces these charges.
Well, there it is, the last word from Vincent Hill. And there are some other, as I said, you cover things every day on the Law and Crime Network. You're covering this story of Newman Raja, an ex-officer in Florida, who just today, some news came down.
That's right. So Newman Raja was a Palm Beach Gardens police officer back on October 18th of 2015. According to Newman Raja, he was told to be in plain clothes, and he was in an unmarked Ford Econo van, just a plain white van, no markings, no blue lights, no siren. Corey Jones was a stranded motorist. He had been on the side of the road for about 2 hours. He had been broken down. He called his brother, a bandmate. He didn't want to leave his drums behind, so he decided to stay with the car.
Corey's a black man, to be specific.
Yes.
Okay.
Corey Jones is a African-American man. So Corey's on the phone with AT&T roadside assistance. Now, according to Raja, he passes by, he sees this vehicle, which he thought was abandoned. So he decides to turn around, go up the wrong way on the exit ramp, because Corey was on the exit ramp, and pull in front of Corey. Now, according to Raja, he says he got out of the van and said, hey, police, may I help you? Now, what he did not know, Raja didn't know, was with that call that Corey was on to roadside assistance, that call was recorded. At no point did Raja ever say, hey, police, may I help you? All you hear is, are you good? Corey Jones says, yeah, I'm good. Raja, really? And the next thing you know is, put your effing hands up, drop the effing gun, and then you hear six shots. But, you know, Newman Raja attempted Stand Your Ground, which is in Florida. The judge denied that last year. He stood trial for manslaughter and attempted murder. He was found guilty today of all charges. And the thing about it, and you can see Corey Jones there on your screen.
So Corey
the thing
Jones
about it,
died. This is manslaughter. He was killed, to be sure.
Yeah. So he died back in October 2015. But the thing about it, you know, and me being former police officer, I tell people all the time, I never got out on someone in plain clothes. I mean, Newman Raja had on jeans, a T-shirt inside out, and a ball cap. Mm. It's 3:30 in the morning. You're in this unmarked white van. You pull up in front of me on an exit ramp. I don't know if I'm getting robbed or what, and I'm sure that's what Corey Jones thought. Now, Corey Jones, to be clear, was armed with a handgun that he had purchased 2 days before, but he had that gun legally. So when Newman Raja's like, he pointed a gun at me, so I shot him. There's no doubt in my mind Corey Jones pointed the gun at Newman Raja, not because Corey was up to no good. Again, he was a stranded motorist. But in Corey Jones' mind, at 3:30 in the morning, who's not going to think, well, this person's pulling up behind me or in front of me, and I don't know who they are. They're trying to rob me. Oh. So Corey Jones had every right to pull out his gun. He did exactly what I would have done. Unfortunately, Corey Jones was shot and killed by Newman Raja.
And then just today, to wrap up, a Florida jury found that officer guilty of manslaughter in that fatal shooting. Thank you so much, Vincent Hill. We'll see you next time.
All right.
You are with America Trends, and we're so glad you've been here with us. Whether you're watching on the U2 America TV network on Roku, at your local station all across the nation, or on ytaclub.com, because we do stream there. We stream there live. And then you can go up to Featured, there at the top that you see right there, and click on America Trends and see some of our past shows. But you can also check around. We've got a lot of great shows on U2 America. Oh, there are Sully and Russ of the Big Biz Show. Very, very good. And then, Positively Paula Deen. But you can also catch America Trends on Biz Talk Radio. So we would just love to have you join us. And click through to find us on social media, too. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to all be friends, connect. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do these days. It's all about the social media. Hey, thank you to our guest for tonight, Bart Marquis, former Undersecretary to President George W. Bush, talking about AOC and some of the political headlines of the day. And then we had Vincent Hill talking about this whole R. Kelly thing, the R&B star and his back child support and these allegations and a new documentary and him going to jail and bailing out and just having this huge dramatic interview with Gayle King. So Vincent follows all these big true crime headlines across America. We're always really glad to have him. And speaking of true crime, finally tonight, this, you might have heard of this, Hulu is presenting a new true crime anthology called The Act. It stars Patricia Arquette. Look at her. That's Patricia Arquette, again, totally transforming herself. She plays Dee Dee Blanchard, a Missouri mother caring for a child, her child whose ailments, she'd tell anyone who would listen, are this, that, and the other, and she'd get free stuff. I don't know if I saw this on Dateline or what. A lot of shocking aspects to this case, and you can see it all starting March 20th. Here's your first look.
This is the state's case against Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
She's got paraplegia, epilepsy, heart murmurs, and she's allergic to sugar. Everything I do for her.
My mom is my best friend. All she wants to do is keep me safe.
Gypsy!
Have you been able to confirm the girl's medical history?
Which part?
Any of it.
That's what being a mom is, never being sure you're doing the right thing, but doing it anyway.
Not with the Children's Division of Missouri Social Services.
Oh, no.
Open.
Gypsy's got the mind of a 7-year-old.
How old are you?
Oh, she's 15, born in 1995.
I thought you said I was born in 1993.
I'm just gonna ask you a few questions, all right? Can you read? Do you love me?
What are you giggling about?
I met my Prince Charming.
Hi. I never once disrespected my mama the way you do.
I'm so trapped. I can't tell anyone.
You can tell me.
Nobody's gonna ever do more for you than I do.
She's never gonna let us be together.
Sooner or later, everybody knows everything about everyone.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard, how do you plead?